Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Welcome, everybody. We got a pretty interesting young man here today. I met him a few weeks ago, and I said, oh, you got to come in for a show. All right. He's a teacher slash guide for the Montessori School in Godfrey, Illinois. Mm-hmm. He teaches ages 3, 4, 5, and 6
every day.
I welcome Trent Gilg. Welcome, Trent.
Hello, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Trent, you're 26 years old.
Yep.
And you grew up where?
In Carrollton.
Carrollton.
I grew up in Carrollton. I was born 10 days into the new millennium.
Oh.
January 10th, 2000.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, one of the first babies born in the new millennium. Something special about that.
Yeah, makes me feel old because I remember that. So you went to Carrollton, and then did you always want to be a teacher? Did you grow up in the country or in town or what?
I grew up in like the most country part of Carrollton, just barely. Barely living in the country, but I was always out at grandma and grandpa's. My mom ran a daycare out of our home the whole time I was growing up.
I'll be done.
From the time I was 6 till I was 16, I'd come home from school and there'd be infants, toddlers, preteens just packed into the house.
I'll be done.
All different kinds of kids.
Yeah.
So I was always helping out and getting to know all the kids, helping out with snack. All the phases that I went through, like when I got into magic and sleight of hand, I was putting on magic shows. When I first started getting into music, I was setting up like battle of the bands between the different kids.
I'll be darned.
But I did not want to work with children.
No, you didn't.
No.
So what was your goals? You went through that. You're raised in it, but then you go to college.
Yeah, I got out of high school. I wanted to work with my hands. I wanted to just go right to work. I didn't really want to go to college. I wanted to just get in the field.
What trade?
I wanted to do plumbing, and I worked in the field for a while doing different pipe fitting, but then just decided it wasn't really my passion. I didn't really have a whole lot of drive to
You're wanting to get back to the kids. Is that it?
I was kind of looking for a meaning to life.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was 18, my mother had passed away from breast cancer. And it was just me and my dad and then my younger brother. I don't think he was 16 yet.
Yeah.
And it kind of really dissolved our family unit when that happened.
Sure.
So I was really in this period of searching, trying to find out what's life all about.
So what'd you do? Where'd you go?
Yeah, so I went to the daycare. Yeah. I went to the preschool. And just seeing the light of all the children, I was like, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what I love to do. This is what makes me happy. This makes me want to get up and go to work every day.
So did you then go to college and get a teaching degree, or how did that go?
While I was going to school, I was working with adults with disabilities. Uh-huh. I would do personal support work, and I'd go in home and work with different people and take them out into the community. Like, I worked with this young man. We would go to the YMCA and go swimming and lift weights and talk to people and just socialize. Okay. And that was real fun. And I was taking classes all that time. For early childhood education.
Well, tell us about the Montessori school in Godfrey. What's that all about?
All right.
Is that a like with a particular religion or something? Or it's Christian, right?
So let me say this. The Montessori Children's House in Godfrey, Illinois was started in 1979 by Rod and Jane Connell. The Montessori philosophy itself is not Christian, but this school was started by Christians, so it does have that Judeo-Christian value system and that culture implemented into it. But the philosophy itself is not strictly religious in nature.
how is the Montessori school maybe a little different from like other schools?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is the way that the classrooms are divided up, rather than first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade classrooms. Everyone's in their own classroom. They go by age range. So I work with the primary school students. So it's 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds.
That whole group.
Yeah, all together. Yeah.
Okay.
So that way, like the younger kids, they'll come in and they're just starting. But then the older kids, they've been there for a while and they kind of know the routine and how things work. They're able to be leaders for the younger kids.
Yes.
And the little kids can learn from that.
I noticed you, when I said you were a teacher, you said, well, actually, we call ourselves guides.
Right.
So tell us about that. Yeah. Why guides?
Dr. Maria Montessori, she figured that children are not simply like empty vessels that need to be filled with knowledge, but they are active participants in the learning experience, and that teachers exist in that role to kind of lead them into the learning process, not to merely take the knowledge and implement it there, but to open the path and show the ways on how can we figure this out? How can we learn some of this?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah. That's, I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what made you seek out and find a job at Montessori?
Yeah. So I had met the Connells. They had been doing prayer meetings in their home on Friday afternoons, and I had was just in a time where I was needing to go pray with people.
Uh-huh.
So I was going there, and Mr. Rod Connell, he kind of saw the way that I would interact with the different children in this community, and he was like, I think you should really come and work at the school. I think you would really like it. And I had known about Montessori for a while, and it had always intrigued me, but I had never observe the classroom or anything. And the first time I went down, I just fell in love with it. I was like, this is how it should be.
Cool.
Yeah.
Kind of, did you reflect back to when you were growing up? Did everything come easy for you?
Like when I first started getting, it was just kind of natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just real came easy to me working with the kids, building those relationships. You know, I really feel like we're in the business of soul shine.
Soul shine.
Soul shine.
What's
soul
shine?
Better than the sunshine, better than the rain. It's looking into each and every child and seeing what makes them tick, what makes them talk, what makes their hearts stir up, what they love in their brains and their hearts that make their soul shine through.
I like that.
Yeah.
You said one thing you commented about things that Montessori or for you, the importance of the children's souls.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah. And that's a big part of the Montessori philosophy is nurturing the soul and the spirit of every child through grace and through friendship and teachings on peace and mutual respect and accountability. Yeah, absolutely.
I see.
Mm-hmm. There's a children's songwriter named Rafi. He does I don't know if you ever heard the song. Down by the bay where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say, have you ever seen a bear combing his hair down by the bay? But he's got this philosophy. It's called child honoring, where he believes and teaches that how we treat, respect, what we show, teach, and the opportunities we give to young children, to our most vulnerable citizens in society, has a direct impact on the sustainability and peacefulness of humanity in the future.
Wow.
Yeah. When I was real little, I remember making a conscious decision. I told myself, when I grow up, I'd never forget what it was like to be a kid. That when I became an adult, that I wouldn't forget what it was like to be a small and vulnerable in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, because we forget as grown-ups, as adults. We get into the rhythm of things, and life shows us how the real world works, and we forget what it was like to have, like, that first love as a child where everything was new and fresh.
Yes, yes.
We have to keep that. We have to maintain it, and it's got to be a intentional. It's got to be an intentional choice.
Yes. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Trent Gilg with me. He's a guide slash teacher at Montessori and Godfrey. And, you know, one thing, you mentioning what that about having an idea of being young, you know, like...
Yeah.
I saw recently where for like seniors, you know, as people get older, you'll notice some people, they are not that happy when they get older, but it's important as you get older to continue to play, you know, to have fun playing, mm-hmm. you know, like playing never goes out of style, you know, and you should, you know, people should plan on that, you know, try not to be so serious about everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You got to have that joy in life, that spark in life that makes the human experience worth living.
Yeah. And you're getting it every day. What's the challenges of, what is the challenge of, you got 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds in the same room and you got like 20 of them, right? How do you handle that?
Oh my goodness. Sometimes I just start singing. Sometimes I just go into it.
I mean, because kids are...
And they'll catch
I have an experience. I actually substitute taught for, is either kindergarten or first grade one time at a school in Shipman. Mm-hmm. Out of the blue, I called me, hey, you want to... I was actually working, doing, you know, running a restaurant and bar and hotel, but I like to just substitute once in a while just to keep, you know, because I taught for, you know, about 7 years. And I had, like, these little kids, 5 and 6-year-olds. I walk into the room, and they're like, yeah, they're just so happy. Yeah. You know, they're just so excited, you know.
Yes.
And I had a great time with them through the day, but I was totally exhausted at the end of the day. Whew, wore me out. But they were fun.
It is fun. But the biggest challenge is definitely addressing those social and emotional behaviors that all little kids have. And all humans experience it. Anger, sadness, frustration, happiness, joy, laughter, love. You got to have the good with the bad feelings of life. And that's probably the biggest part of it, is trying to get everybody to get along.
Yeah.
Because some people...
Because they want to get into groups, don't they? I mean, it's just human nature. You know, like, you want to be, you know, like, they have a pecking order.
Sure, you know? Sure.
How do you get around that? How do you dissolve that pecking order thing?
Well, I just try to look at each and every child on their individual level and meet them where they're at. First and foremost, building that relationship with them so that they can trust me, so that I'm not merely like... a figure of authority that's commanding and directing what to do, but I'm really someone that they can trust and look up to and seek out for help and for finding out how to navigate this thing we call life.
Yeah. Now, you're also a musician.
Yeah, I play a little bit.
And you play the banjo.
Yeah.
And we're going to record some songs today as well. How did you get into the banjo? That's something you did your whole life?
No. I first got the banjo as a Christmas present from my grandmother, and I actually got it the year that my mother had passed away. And when I first tried to tune up the banjo, I didn't know how it operated or how to do nothing about it.
Yeah.
And I immediately broke one of the strings. And I got so frustrated and so angry with myself, and I was still grieving and everything. And it was mm-hmm. during Christmas time, so emotions were just kind of high.
Yeah.
And I put it away, and I just said, oh, I just got so frustrated and angry, I just set it aside and didn't even mess with it. And then a couple years back, I decided to just pull it out. And I was like, you know, I never even gave this thing a chance. I just threw it in the closet. And so I pulled it out and started reading a little bit and watching some videos on how to take that up. And I was like, no, this is fun. This is fun. I play a style called clawhammer. A lot of people, when they think of the banjo, they think of real picking and rolling. I mainly play a clawhammer style, which is very rhythmic, percussive style. I did drums and percussion all through middle and high school, playing snare drum, the timpanis, the xylophone, the full drum set. So picking up that clawhammer was real easy for me. Other people I've met...
What do you mean clawhammer?
What does clawhammer mean? It's a style of holding your hands. I'll strike the top string with my middle finger, And that'll be like a boom.
Okay.
And then I'll brush it down with the rest of my fingers, and that'll be like a chick. So it'll be like boom, chick. And then I'll let my thumb roll over that high string on the top, and that'll be like a ba. So it'll be like boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom, chicka. When you put it all together and mm-hmm. you keep it going, and they just call that call hammer.
Okay. Now, you're musically inclined, but you picked up the banjo and learned it. How old are you? 20, 21?
I guess I was probably 20. I guess 23 when I started.
Yeah. Yeah. What advice do you have for people that maybe, you know, like me, that never played an instrument, but, you know, would like to, you know, what do you think? What's the way to go about it?
That's a good question. Find something where the barrier to entry is not super high, like something that you can just kind of pick up and mess with. Stringed instruments can be a little tricky, but there's no reason that anybody could play it. Anybody could play the drums, the harmonica, I think.
The harmonica is maybe, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, the harmonica.
Probably the easiest.
Yeah, you could pick it up and just blow it and figure out how it works. I think it would be really cool to get people the dulcimer. Have you ever seen a dulcimer?
A what?
A dulcimer. It's like
a dulcimer.
Yeah, a dulcimer. No. It's like an Appalachian instrument. It's kind of lays on the table or lays in your lap, and it's only got about three strings, but two of them are tuned the same. So you really only need to mess with one string. You can kind of just move your finger up and down the fretboard, and I've messed with one time, and I was like, I don't think you can make this thing sound bad. You just
really no, the dulcimer. Yeah.
Yeah, the dulcimer.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Any other instruments you think they're would be good for beginners?
Singing.
Just singing?
I think if people just stopped caring how they sing, and then they'd fall into it. I think too many people have a mental blockage about,
like, I don't sing
yeah,
well.
I can't sing. Yeah, I can't do it. And I think if you just let go and let your soul shine out, you'll fall into it. Yeah. I'm a big whistler. I'm a big whistler and snapper. I like to whistle and snap.
Whistle and snap. Yeah? Yeah, so you're doing that all day long, whistling and snapping?
Oh, yeah, whistling is, that's how I try to make it through life, just whistling and snapping along, tapping my feet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, so you're playing music all day long.
Life is a song. You wake up in the morning and you hear the birds tweeting in the air. Go to the school, you hear the kids laughing. All of life is a song. We just gotta open our ears and sing along.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. You're a heck of a philosopher for 26.
Sure.
Oh, shoot. So you go to Montessori, you teach, you bring your banjo with you, play the banjo a little bit.
I love it.
Yeah. And do you teach? Is music a part of your teaching?
Oh, absolutely. Mainly for like expectations and transitions. I like to have little songs for everything just because it catches them kids' attention rather than trying to be direct and firm and have a word salad come out that they're trying to comprehend. If I just give them a song that catches in their ear and then they start singing them themselves.
You're kind of like a Mary Poppins, aren't you?
Yeah, that's a cool comparison. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Just you remember that movie, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Something fun we really do is it's called the Boom Whackers. This is so cool. These kids love this thing.
Boom Whackers.
Boom Whackers, yeah. They're like just these lengths of PVC pipe all cut to different sizes and different colors so that each one is a musical note. And you can lay it all down in rainbow order, and it'll go from tallest to smallest, and you put it in those kids' hand, and you can hit it on the floor, hit it on their hands.
So you got a piece of PVC pipe,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
and all the different kids have different sizes,
yeah,
okay, yeah. And they're whacking them on things,
they're whacking them everywhere, yeah. The first thing you have to do is sit down. Now, boom whackers are musical instruments. Everybody say boom whackers are musical instruments. They're not swords. You can't hit your friends. You can't throw them. You can't smack them on your head. Because they'll want to do all different things with them. Yeah. So you got to set that expectation of what they're really used for.
Because
we have to take care of them.
And then you start a song, and then they start whacking?
Mm-hmm. So there's a song I do. It'll be like, when you hear your name, when you hear your name, get a boom whacker and tap your lap. Get a boom whacker and tap your lap. Chris, So then you'd stand up and you'd go to the middle and you'd pick out, oh, do I want the big long red one? Do I want the itty bitty pink one? Which one do I want? You'll grab it and you'll go back to your spot, and then you'll join and we'll go around and do each and every person until we're all singing that song together and everyone's got their boom whacker.
Man, you sound like a lot of fun. I bet kids love you.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. It's really just peace on earth.
How do you come up with all this stuff? Like, you know, every day you got a new show you got to put on.
Pretty much. Sometimes it just comes to me in the moment, different little ditties or what to say or a funny little thing to get someone that's not really in a good mood to smiling again so we can get back into it. Other times I got to seek out, and I got a good group of people I work with and a really good mentors with lots of experience that I can come to that have all the tricks of the trade.
Like, in your experience, what have you done? How do you handle it? Like, if you have a couple kids that are getting into it, how do you make them friends again?
The first thing I got to do is just come to it very calmly and gently. Because if I come to it with this out of control, upset, angry energy, that's just going to escalate the situation, and that's not what I want. So I got to come in and just be a soft-spoken voice so we can just bring it down a little bit so that we can try to solve this out. We can talk it through.
It works?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part. For different children, they might need something a little more stern because that's just what they need. But for the most part, yeah, we can approach these situations with respect and with calm tones to get back on track.
Yeah.
And solve these issues. We don't got to fight. We don't got to yell and scream about it. We can handle this the right way.
Yeah. That's you know, that's something maybe young parents need to think about too, you know, or old grandparents or everybody, you know, to come in and be calm. And
it's tough to remember that. It's tough to forget because you're busy focusing on other things about the world and what you have to handle. And sometimes we forget that children are fully individualized humans. They're just at an earlier state of development where they haven't learned the skills to regulate their emotions and their big feelings.
Yeah.
And it's important that we take a step back and say, you know, this child is feeling this way because of something else, not because I don't like it when people say children are being bad, because no child is bad. We might make the wrong choice, but no child is bad.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All children show the light of God.
Yes. Well, we're just about out of time on this interview, and it's been great, very informative. Anything you'd like to end on for the listeners? Just, you know, a tip for taking care of kids, raising kids.
Yeah.
That you think.
I think what you said, don't forget to play. Don't forget to play. Yeah, don't let things be so serious all the time. Take the chance, the opportunity to sit down and enjoy life and that experience with your child.
Yes.
Whistle a song with them. Get silly with them. Because there's a time to be serious, and we have the rest of our adult lives to be serious and to worry about things. So take the chances when you have them now to just be silly and have fun.
Well, Trent Gillick, the guide at Montessori of Godfrey School, I tell you what, you're very wise for a 26-year-old. You've done well, my man.
Thank you.
So glad to have you in, and take care out there. And if somebody is like, they listen to this interview and they go, you know what, I'd like to check in, you know, maybe having my child or children go to your school.
Yeah.
How can they find out about it?
Yeah, look up Montessori Children's House on Facebook, or there's a website. I think it's MCH Godfrey. And reach out to Miss Salem Newman. She's the director there, and she'll get you set up and have all the information for you.
Okay. Now, is school going on in the summertime too?
We have some summer. Yes, there are some summer school programs, but then there's also a child care program that goes all throughout the summer. And there's two four-week sessions of summer school.
But, okay. Yeah. Well, Trent, thanks so much for coming in.
Absolutely.
Have a
thanks
great
for
day.
Having me.